Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Romans 5, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul comes to the greatest of all the fruits of justification by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins verse 9 with the words, "much more than." And in verse 10, he says again, "much more," in the middle of that verse. The Apostle Paul uses that phrase. He is talking about something very special, something out of the ordinary, something even more wonderful than what he has already mentioned. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, that is, by his death on the cross, by his sacrifice of himself at Calvary in our place, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Paul is arguing from the greater to the lesser. And his argument goes like this. If A is true, and you know that it is if you are justified by faith, then B necessarily follows. If God had mercy on you while you were ungodly, while you still deserved everlasting punishment in hell as a sinner, and if God has made you righteous through the blood of his own Son, Jesus Christ, then there is absolutely no doubt at all that he will have mercy on you now that you are his friend. For if God has done the greatest thing, if he had mercy on you while you were still his enemy, and he declared you righteous before him, then he most certainly will have mercy on you now that you are no longer his enemy, but his friend. Paul is saying here, if God had mercy on you while you were still unrighteous, while you were still in your sins, then he most certainly will have mercy on you now that you are righteous, because you have been justified by his blood. When it comes to the great day of the wrath of God, when it comes to everlasting judgment, he certainly will have mercy on you who have been justified through the death of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you have thought about the great day of judgment when our Lord Jesus Christ will return. He will judge the world in righteousness. If you are not a believer, if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, on that great day, Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, will condemn you to punishment forever. How do you know that you will be saved from the wrath of God on that great day? It is an awesome and a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you've never thought about that, you ought to think about it. The Bible says that the day of judgment will come suddenly and unexpectedly, like a thief in the night who breaks into your house when you are sleeping. It might come tomorrow. It might come tonight. Our Lord Jesus said that no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels who are in heaven. When Jesus Christ was here on this earth, he said that even he did not know the day of the Lord's return. Only his Father knew the day that Christ would return in judgment. He said it would be like the lightning that shines from east to west and comes without warning. It would be like the flood of Noah's day that came without any warning other than the preaching of Noah. When that happens, when that day comes, when the lightning strikes, it will be too late to repent. It will be too late to believe in Jesus Christ. It will no longer be the day of God's mercy and grace. When Jesus Christ returns, he is not coming in his humiliation, but in his exaltation. He will return as the exalted judge of all the earth. And He will bring with Him thousands upon thousands upon thousands of mighty angels. The Bible speaks of them as myriads and myriads, a vast multitude of angels that you could not possibly imagine will be with the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes in glory. He will gather the whole human race before His great white throne of judgment. The graves in the earth will open up. The dead bodies will get up out of their graves, and even the great oceans of the earth will give up the dead who are in them. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. The whole human race will stand before the great white throne of God's judgment on which the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one, will sit. That's a staggering thought. Jesus Christ said in John 5, verse 28, the hour is coming which all who are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. Some to the resurrection of life, some to the resurrection of damnation. It means that you will be there too. You will be standing there before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. If you are not justified, your conscience will begin to overwhelm you with terror. Your heart will be filled with fear of the things that are about to take place. We know this because the Bible says that people will long for things which used to be absolutely dreadful to them. That will be more pleasant than the prospect of God's eternal judgment. We see in the world the great carnage and dreadful destruction that can come with bombs. We've had bombs explode here in our own land, and we hear of great explosions in other lands, even where our soldiers serve, burying people in the rubble. We hear of great earthquakes where thousands upon thousands are harmed or killed, or even a tsunami that can wipe out tens of thousands. The Bible says that on that great day of judgment, people's consciences will tell them that the carnage and the destruction and the fear of a mighty earthquake would be far more desirable than standing before the great judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. In that great day, men will cry out, begging and pleading for the mountains to fall down upon them and for the hills to cover them over and hide them from the face of the Holy Christ. That's what the Bible says about that great day. People will be absolutely terrified beyond description because the Bible says that the Son of God will separate those who believe from those who do not believe. And He will say to those on His left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You cannot imagine anything more terrible than that. It's not just one bomb in one place. That has happened before. And it will happen many times again. But this will be far worse than that. There will be a great multitude of human beings made in the image of God who are driven by God's holy angels into outer darkness, never again to see the face or even the slightest blessing of the God that they have spurned and rejected. That is what fallen man faces at the judgment of God. Can you imagine any greater blessing than to be able to know already here in this life, in the midst of your pilgrimage to that great day, that you will be safe when that great day comes? Can you tell me anything that is more wonderful than that? To know that you will be safe. Not only that, that you will be crowned with glory and honor in that great day of God's appearing. In the words of the Belgic Confession of Faith, far from being filled with terror, you will be filled with great joy and comfort and look forward to that great day with a great longing to enjoy to the full the promises of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is the way it will be in your heart today if you are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. You see why Paul comes to the climax, to this greatest fruit of justification. Much more than, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. It has to be that way, because God will never let anything happen to His people. How do we know that? We know it because God never would have gone to the trouble to send Jesus Christ, His own Son, into this world to die the terrible and accursed death on the cross if He were not going to save to the uttermost His people. And that is what the Bible says God is going to do. Hebrews 7, verse 25. God is going to save to the uttermost those who come to Him through Jesus Christ, since Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for them, for you and for me. If God would send Jesus Christ to death on behalf of His people, do you not think that Jesus Christ, who ever lives in glory, interceding for us, will plead our cause and will win on that great day of judgment? Think about that. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." In the past, Jesus Christ reconciled us to God by His death. Do you not think that He is going to do something for us now by His life? Now that He ever lives? If the death of Christ was appointed by God for the blessing, for the salvation of His elect people, then you can absolutely depend upon it, that His life will also be for the good and the salvation of His people. Indeed, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Apostle Paul was not afraid to use sound thinking, thinking God's thoughts after Him. That was part of his faith. Sound thinking was part of his tremendous religious experience. Paul did a lot of thinking. Paul thought through the meaning and the significance of truth. And as he thinks through justification by faith and the fruits that flow from it, he comes to that final conclusion in Romans 5, verse 11. And not only that, he has not said it all yet. Not only is all of this absolutely true, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. All of these things are so true that even as we contemplate that awesome day of God's great judgment, we rejoice in God. That is a truly amazing statement. It shows you how wrong it is to live in this world without joy. Some people think that if you believe in the total inability of man and you believe that God hates sin and God punishes sinners with perfect justice, then you could not possibly have joy in this life. And there are those who think that it is a mark of superior godliness to live in this world without joy and without assurance. Their thinking goes something like this: if you know the Bible, if you know how terrible you are, you're going to see the great depths of your own sin. And as you look into your own soul, at your own sinful nature, you're going to see how unworthy you are of the mercy of God and of the salvation of God. And once you see that, it's going to be a long time before you can learn to rejoice, if ever, in this life. And that joy will only come if perhaps you have a sufficiently stirring emotional religious experience to give you assurance from above that you really are a Christian and that you really can rejoice. Certainly it is true that we do not even make a beginning in understanding the Christian faith until we know that we are a sinner deserving only of everlasting judgment. Until we learn to humble ourselves before God and beat upon our breasts, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How corrupt, how polluted my heart and nature is. We have not even begun to understand the Scriptures and the Gospel. But it is totally contrary to the teaching of God's Word to remain in that condition. God, in His Word, teaches us, calls us, commands us to look away from ourselves, to look away from our polluted soul to Jesus Christ. We must look away from our sin and from the defilement and corruption that is in us to the perfection of Jesus' atonement for us. If you are one of God's people, you will say with the Apostle Paul, yes, Lord, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whenever I see someone who does not rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, I know either one of two things is true. Either he's not justified at all, or he has not yet learned to follow the mind of the Apostle Paul. He's not yet learned to work out the doctrine of justification and all of its application and implication for his life. Perhaps he does not understand the biblical doctrine of justification by grace through faith. There are many in the church today who do not understand what that is, what God teaches about it. They cannot accurately explain the great work of God in declaring sinners righteous in His sight. Some who have heard of that word all their life may still not be able to explain it. But you're not going to get very far if you do not clearly understand that great truth of God's word. And if you cannot think through the application and implication of God justifying you for the sake of Christ His Son, by free grace, in which He pardons all our sins and accounts or reckons us as righteous in His sight, only for the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is imputed to us or credited to our account, and which we can receive only by faith alone. If we don't understand that, how can you have joy? How can you be assured that you belong to the Lord, that you are right before Him? If you do not understand the doctrine of justification by faith, then you always fall into that trap of dividing the work of salvation between you and God. And you can do that in 1,000 different ways. You can even look like a very godly person while doing that. For if you do not look to Jesus Christ alone and to His finished work on Calvary as the only basis of your acceptance with God, then you are looking to yourself. You're waiting for some experience. You're waiting to arrive at some measure of perfection. You're waiting for something because it's not all in Christ. You have the work of Christ and then you have something else, whatever that may be. Something in yourself, something in someone else. And you will never find it Because justification is by grace alone. Justification is the free gift of God alone. Justification is by faith alone. Justification is by trusting in Christ alone and in nothing else beside Him. It is by Christ alone, not by Christ and anything else. Beloved, so many people fail to see that it is all one. Our salvation is only in Christ. You have to understand what justification is and then understand how everything else is an outworking of it. We have peace with God. We have access into the very presence of God. We have hope. We have joy in tribulations by which God is sanctifying us and making us more like Himself. We have the Holy Spirit. We have all the gifts of the Spirit of God. All of these things come out of our justification. And the greatest thing of all is that we can even rejoice in God long before the great day of judgment arrives, because we know that when that great day of judgment comes, we stand there with all of the human race before the great judgment seat of the Lord. We will be safe. We will be saved from the wrath of God. And that is a fact if you are in Christ. If you have truly repented of your sins, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, if God has been merciful to you and given you refuge in the blood of Christ, you will be saved. And you can rejoice in God through Christ Jesus. The man of God who has all of these wonderful blessings is the man who does some thinking. Do you ever do some thinking like that? That's not very characteristic of the time in which we live. Instead of thinking, we turn on the radio, we turn on the television. Instead of thinking, we want entertainment. Something so that our minds do not have to think. Something so that we do not have to meditate upon the truth of God. How about 5 minutes or 10 minutes? Thinking about the great truths of the gospel. Thinking about the Word of God. Thinking about the promises of God. Thinking about God's covenant with you. That's what the Bible talks about. Psalm 1 says that the godly person meditates in the Word of God day and night. David says in Psalm 63, verse 6, I meditate on you in the night watches. What was David doing? He's putting two and two together, spiritually. He was tracing out the steps of biblical truth. He was rejoicing in the great work of God. The whole trend of our day is to get rid of that kind of thinking. Get rid of that kind of silence. Get rid of that kind of meditation. People are so emotional and feeling oriented because it's easier. You get a great religious feeling, a great religious experience, and you don't have to do any work. You don't have to think. You don't have to put any effort out. It just hits you and then you have it. Many people do not want to learn doctrine. They do not want to learn the great teaching of the Bible. They demonstrate their spiritual foolishness. They demonstrate how much they are being conformed to this age. If you're going to learn to rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, you're going to do it the Bible's way. You're going to do it the way the Apostle Paul did it, by thinking through the implications of the great doctrines of the Bible, especially the doctrine of justification by faith. That does not mean that you're not going to have emotions or that you're not going to have religious experience. Oh, no. That does not mean that your life will be devoid of feeling. That's not the case at all. You're going to have plenty of feeling. The only difference is that your feeling and your emotion and your affections are going to be solid. They're going to be substantial, not just a grand delusion. David said in Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9, I've set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Is your heart glad? And your glory rejoicing? There's a reason. David says, because my heart instructs me in the night seasons, because I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. My flesh shall rest in hope. David has the feeling, all right, but it is a result of thinking. It is a result of thinking about the things of God. It is a result of justification. It is a result of faith in Jesus Christ. It is a result of realizing what that means. Do you have that kind of real and solid religious experience? Do you have that kind of joy, that kind of rejoicing? Do you have that kind of substantial feeling? You're not going to have it if you turn your mind off when it comes to biblical doctrine. You're not going to have it if you just passively wait, hoping that maybe some big, great experience will happen in your life and then everything will be fine. You know, the Bible says that you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You must study to understand the things of God. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. That means that you need to do some thinking. You need to think about what it means to believe in Christ. And then you will experience those benefits that flow out of justification. If I truly believe in Jesus Christ, if I trust in Him for my salvation, and I know who Jesus is, and I know the great infinite value of the sacrifice that He has made, the infinite value of Him offering Himself as the sacrifice for sin on the cross, if I know the greatness and the magnitude of what Jesus Christ has done, then I am also going to have the basis for this glorious thing of which the Apostle Paul speaks in this passage. You see why the Apostle Paul does not just tell us a little bit about justification and then rush on? You see why he goes on in verse after verse, chapter after chapter, unfolding the glorious truths and the richness of what it means to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Why does he do that? Because justification is the greatest of all the works of God. You might think, do you really mean that? Greater than creating the universe in 6 days and all very good? Yes, I do. Greater than raising the dead on the last day from the graves? Greater than that? Yes, indeed. Even greater than saving us on the day of God's wrath, when there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Yes. Justification is even greater than that. How do we know that? Because the work of justification required the death of God's only Son. That was the only way that God could make us miserable sinners righteous in His sight. God never would have done that to His Son Jesus Christ if there was any other way. God can create the world and the universe with His power. God can condemn the wicked with His might, but He could not justify us without the death of Jesus Christ. Yes, justification is the greatest of all the wonderful, mighty, amazing works of God. We have to see that. We have to realize it. We have to think about it. We have to work it out in our minds. And if we do that, then right here in the midst of this life, with all of our struggles, with all of our sorrows, with all of the disappointments and heartaches and grief, and whatever else we face in life, we can rejoice. We can rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We can sing a new song. We can sing a song of praise to God. Are you rejoicing in God tonight? Are you? Does your inmost being thrill with joy and gladness fill your breast because you trust in Jesus Christ and you totally rest in Him? hope you do rejoice in God, and that it will show only more and more and more as you live the life of gratitude, the life of joy, the life of thankfulness to the praise of God's great grace and marvelous love for sinners like we are. Amen. Father in heaven, and can it be that we should be just in your sight? We should have part in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away our sin, to declare us righteous. We know it is true, for you have told us so in your word, and our hearts rejoice. We break forth in praise and in thanksgiving, filled with joy. Father, we pray that you will cause us to understand the great work that you have done in Christ, the great truths of the gospel, the great truth of justification by faith in Jesus Christ alone, and all that flows from it. Father, we pray that your Spirit will seal your truths to our hearts, and that you, by your Spirit, will work mightily in the hearts and lives of those who do not have that joy, because they do not understand your great work, and they do not trust in Christ alone. Bring them also, we pray, to bow down before you and to acknowledge that you are the Savior of sinners, that you are God and there is none else. Fill us with joy, we pray, and make our joy to overflow. Make your light to shine forth brightly through us. Fathers, we bring today our gifts and our offerings and our tithes to you. We pray your blessing upon them. We ask that you will use them to send forth your word and spirit, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that men may be turned from despair, from darkness, and from death, and from destruction, to everlasting life, to salvation, and to rejoicing, even on the great day of your appearing. Hear our prayer, we ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.